For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Hello, welcome to the Monday Waffle. This is episode 7, a massive weekend of footy, lots of upsets. We've got Jared Lawford in the studio and Claire Dell. Guys, how are we going?
Good.
Very good, amigo.
Week 7 already.
Yeah, it's bloody flown, hasn't
Time's
it?
Time's flown. How exciting.
Time flies when you're having fun.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Gotcha.
Words out of my mouth. You got me.
We're going to kick straight into it, guys. The first game under the microscope is Clermont defeating West Perth. 12 goals, 11.83 to 8 goals, 15.63. The margin was 20 points. West Perth had just as many scoring shots but were wasteful in front of goal. The Tigers, I thought, were pretty lucky to get the win. Their decision-making all day was woeful. However, their big men were the difference and were far too tall and strong for the Falcons, and they just couldn't compete. Yeah, so the Tigers, first win?
First win of the season.
Yeah, they lost their first 5 games.
I don't know. I've always had a bit of faith in the Tigers, though. I think they're better than how they've been playing.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, they've been injury-ravaged this whole season, so I think they're starting to get a few key players back into that side. Claire, have you got some standouts for me from the Tigers?
Yeah, I mean, the former AFL players, like you said, the big men were the difference. So Mark Seabee, former West Coast player, he had 17 touches, 25 hit-outs and a goal. And Kepler Bradley, 19 disposals, 6 marks, a goal. They played really well. And, I mean, West Perth, they're a little side. They just didn't have guys big enough to compete with. I mean, these two guys are both, you know, 2 metres tall, 100 kilos. It's really hard to compete with that when you don't have big men on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they played really well. Mitch Andrews as well, 15 disposals, 28 hit-outs and a goal. So he was a great all-rounder. Ian Richardson and Aaron Holt had 2 goals each. Ryan Neitz, he had the top possessions, 34 disposals there. Corey Yeo and Tom Ledger had 26 touches each as well. A good little team there for their first win of the season. I really hope that they continue. I really hope that they continue to do well.
Yeah, as you said before, it was the big men that were the difference. For West Perth, Chris Coonan, the West Perth ruckman, went off injured in literally the first 5 seconds. It was the first ball up of the match. He fell heavily on his shoulder. I couldn't see what happened. I think it may have been a slight dislocation or just got that AC joint on the really sore spot. But he took a while to get off, but he came back on in the second quarter with a heavily strapped shoulder, but it was that first quarter for Clermont. They kicked 3 goals to West Perth's 2 and then 5 goals in the second quarter, so they got a really nice buffer at half time. Jared, who were the standouts for West Perth?
Best on ground, I'd say Aaron Black, 33 possessions and 1 goal, so obviously a very handy performance for him in regards to West Perth's performance. Shane Nelson, 26 disposals as well. Rowan Kerr, 25 disposals. Stephen Brown in his 100th waffle game, 22 touches. So you'd be happy with that. And co-captain Jay Van Berlo, 3 goals and 21 disposals. So I'd say I'd probably put best on ground performance for West Perth. Jay Van Berlo, the 3 goals, 21 disposals. Very handy.
Yeah, I mean, he got those 3 goals all in the second half. So, I mean, when the game was there, I mean, he really stood up. Unfortunately, they couldn't carry on from his performance in the second half, but I thought Jay Van Berlo's performance was really good. I mean, they didn't have Andrew Strike, the former Eagles player. I think he's
been playing so well.
Yeah, he's been a pretty integral part for that midfield this year. So, yeah, they certainly missed him. But I mean, West Perth just couldn't compete. They were out-muscled by Clermont's big men. So disappointing for West Perth because they had a really good win last week against the Swans, a come-from-behind win.
I thought it might have been the same thing again this week. I was holding out for that fourth quarter and it just didn't happen.
I mean, everyone at the ground was holding out for that as well. I mean, I think everyone knew that West Perth have that capacity to come back.
The Clermont fans were holding their breath, crossing their fingers and toes. Yeah.
And I was sitting in the box ready to play the song for the Tigers, and the timekeeper, he's like 65 years old, just loves the Tigers, and when that final siren went, he just held it down for a little bit longer when they got the win. It was really good. So yeah, really good for the Tigers, and hopefully they can carry on this season with that form and get a few more wins. They're off the bottom now, so they've got that win. Their percentage is a little better than Perth Demons. So they'll be really happy.
Speaking of Andrew Strike before, we may as well give him a shout out because he did miss the game, but he did get engaged. So congrats to Andrew Strike.
Right.
Good on you, mate.
Bit of trivia. I wish I had a little trivia sting to fire off there. Da, 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 da. All right. Well done. Yeah, no, congratulations, Andrew. Maybe that's why he wasn't there on the weekend. Anyway.
Too loved up to play.
Yeah.
Okay, so taking a look ahead of next week for both teams, West Perth are hosting East Perth up there in Joondalup at HBF Arena. God, that's going to be a good game, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to try and get down to this one. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it should be a good game. West Perth will be fired up, or you'd hope so. And well, that for that matter, so should East Perth. So they're both mid-table on 12 points.
Yeah, 3-3.
Yep,
both of them.
3 wins, 3 losses. So yeah,
only difference, East Perth have a slightly better percentage. Mm. So it's that tough to pick. Who are you guys going to go?
I'm going to go the Falcons just because I love them.
I'm going Falcons just because they're playing at home.
Yep.
I'm going to mix it up a little bit. I'm going to go East Perth.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah. Interesting.
Just spice it up a little bit because I keep tipping. I keep going with the home side and I think, yeah, it's a safe bet. And then out of the blue, like these guys, like East Perth, they're one of those teams that when they play well, they're beating anyone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go East Perth.
Yeah, I mean, you've just got to look at that game against Subi the other week to, yeah, see how good East Perth can be.
Yeah, they smashed them.
But, yeah, no, this week I'm definitely going West Perth, but it's like, oh, man, it's like tossing a coin for that one.
Absolutely. The Tigers, they're hosting Swan Districts down in Albany. It's their country game this week, so...
I want to tip Claremont so badly. I want them to do well, but, oh, man, Swans crushed Peel this week, so you've got to go to Swans.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of Swan Districts this year. Actually, when I say I haven't seen a lot of, I haven't seen any of Swan Districts
this year. No, neither have I.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we're on the same page.
Sorry, Swans.
Yeah, sorry, Swans fans. But, yeah, I don't know with that one. I mean, Claremont played... Claremont got the win this week, but they didn't play amazing. So... Yeah, I'm going to go with the Swans for that one, just purely because they played better this week.
Yeah.
Although they do have to travel a long way, so, I mean, that could...
It's a long road trip. They'll be sleepy on the way down. It'll be a struggle.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to go Swans. Claire, who are you going to go?
Yeah, I'm going the Swans.
Swans?
Yeah, Swannies for me.
Swans all around.
From the studios of ECU, you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Now, last week you would have heard our chat with Fox Footy's Nerilee Meadows and 6PR's Adam Papalia. We're going to pick things up this week in part two of our chat with those two, and I was asking Adam what it was like to go and commentate waffle football, basically without any experience. Now, I guess the biggest difference between when the podcast first started until now is that you guys did some commentating. So how much research did you guys have to do before you sat on the hill and started commentating the games?
Back then, we probably didn't do too much. It was more just about player identification and trying to just basically sound half decent.
we cheated because we edited our own stuff. So if we stuffed anything up, it never went to air.
Exactly. So you're
just a total cop out.
So you all the ums and ahs.
Exactly.
And...
You only got the best of the best, which generally reduced it to about a minute and a half. But from a full game, it was fun. We probably didn't do too much prep in terms of what I'd do for an AFL game now. But just the whole thing of every Saturday afternoon or most Saturday afternoons going out to the games and trying to get involved was good. And a couple of times, and as I remember, they gave us a box at the ground to go and call from, so it was great.
Wow.
I was just thinking about that. I think it was at a Subi game once. We had a little box, and we thought we were pros.
I think it was the supporters complaining about us that made them find another spot for us to go and sit.
I think we're going to have to try and set that up for ourselves this year.
It's going to be awful. It's going to be so awful.
Now, I mean, you guys have talked a little bit about watching players grow and develop that you spoke to 10 years ago. I mean, what about yourselves? What have you guys been up to in the past 10 years?
Yes, it's got the more impressive resume.
I think probably the best thing that comes out of it is that Paps and I are still best mates 10 years later. He's in town in Melbourne every weekend calling for 6PR, as you mentioned, and we still catch up and go and have a beer after the games, and that's pretty cool. And watching Paps... think it was a couple of years ago, the first time when he called a grand final at the MCG, and I'm sitting in the box with him while he's calling it, and I'm seriously just thinking, this is the greatest thing ever. Like, watching one of my best mates achieve his ultimate dream of calling an AFL grand final at the MCG, I'd get goosebumps just now thinking about it. It's pretty cool, the fact that I can think back to that little commentary box or sitting on the hill at Swan District and then see him achieve that dream. That was pretty awesome.
Thank you very much, Nez. Kind words, but Nerilee's obviously been killing it as well over there with Fox Footy. Of course, you did some stuff with Channel 10 before the game, and obviously she does the updates for Fox Footy, and I think she really hit her straps over the summer as well, as one of the cricket insiders for Fox Sports News as well, just dominated with all the interviews over there. And again, we got to catch up at the World Cup final just a couple of weeks ago. I managed to sneak across there and just get into the ground. Nez was working a lot harder than I was on the day, but it was good just to sit there. And again, you just pinch yourself a few times that, you know, you're at these big events, and we've both sort of, you know, gone on a similar path. That's been great.
You guys really are getting a world exclusive here, because we're never this nice to each other.
I know.
And did you guys ever think it would still be going 10 years later?
No.
No.
No. We were surprised that it kept going the second year. Yeah. I think it was the second year that Joe McManus told us that it was part of the curriculum, I think, either the second or third year, and we were pretty chuffed with that. So the fact that it's still going 10 years on is pretty cool.
Yeah, I actually had a look at, I was chatting to Joe just before, Joe McManus, of course, who runs the course, and we went through the list of some of the people that have been through it after us. So it was Adam Curley and Lee Merrick. For those that don't know, Adam spent some time at Fox Sports. He used to play a bit of waffle footy himself, actually. And now he's working for AFL Media and also doing some stuff for the UFC. Lee Merrick did some stuff at Fox Sports and is now the media manager at the GWS Giants.
Oh, wow.
In 2008, Andrew Williams came through. He's a producer at 6PR now and does a fair bit of on-air stuff. I do a show with him on a Sunday through summer. 2009, Michael Genovese, who's a reporter at Channel 9, also went back to play a bit of waffle footy. Tyson Beattie, who was at Channel 9 presenting there for a while, and he's now the footy manager at Perth, Waffle Club Perth as well. So there's definitely some footy links.
Basically what Adam's saying is that we're responsible for every single one of those
every single career has been launched through the Monday Waffle. Tom Atkinson, who spent some time at 6PR. Matt Haywood's now at Triple M in Melbourne. Rory Campbell at Fox Sports over there in Sydney. 2011, Ben Roberts, who's now the media manager at West Coast. Scott Ward, who's at Fremantle. Bo
You're
Pearson.
Sounding like a stalker now.
Who's at Channel 10. Oh, come on, I've actually done some research, so I'm going to read it all out. Nick Alviani, who's a producer at 6PR. Josh Duane, another producer at 6PR. Stephanie Lee, who's gone to Channel 7. Drew Jones, who's now at Fox Sports. Who we both know, and last year Michael Stamp was involved. He just won the George Grealish Scholarship, so he's at 6PR as well. But I think we're responsible, Nez, for pretty much half of the sports media in the country.
Yeah, let's be honest, it's all down to us.
Absolutely unreal. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Awesome insight into the world of a journo and the journeys. It's really great. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for keeping it going. It's great.
Absolutely. I've been tuning into the first couple episodes this season. So, keep up the good work.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
At Medibank Stadium on Saturday, it was East Perth hosting the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs got over the line against the Royals, winning 11-16-82 to 10-9-69. South Ferry won its first three games of the season and have lost their last three. But they're back on the winners list. They moved to 4-3 for the season. Jared, you were there. What was the game? I mean, how did the game go?
The intensity was good from both sides at first. Like they were quite even for the first two quarters, but I tell you what, Brian Dawson, the East Perth coach, he'll be putting that third quarter under the microscope because they got an absolute spraying at three-quarter time. They just fell apart like a 3 a.m. kebab. They were doing well. And then South Freo, in that third quarter, just kicked 5-2 to East Perth's 3 behinds and just ran away with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, East Perth tried to pick it up in that last quarter and they kicked 4 to South Freo's 2, but it just still wasn't enough. So... But I tell you what, Ashton Hams, he said that he's retired from AFL former West Coast player, and I tell you, he's still got it. He could still play for an AFL side if he wanted to. 29 disposals. And Blaine Wilson, 25 disposals as well. Brock Higgins had 22. Ryan Cook had 21. And, you know, it was a brilliant performance from those guys. East Perth, I mean, their best players, I'd say, probably Stephen Payne was their only knight in shining armour with 28 disposals. But Scotty Lysett, who, as we know, was recently dropped from West Coast. I'll tell you what, he's screaming out, how do you like me now, to West Coast. He had 32 hitouts, 8 marks. So he's certainly looking for another call-up. If he keeps that intensity going, you know, he's just got to keep his chin up and just keep doing what he's doing, and he'll obviously get called back because that's a great performance.
Yeah.
Shane Hill in his second game kicked 2 goals for East Perth as well. But, it was just lost in the midfield, I guess, in that third quarter. South Fremantle, they were just more composed. They just found more clearance. They found more space. They just looked a lot more coordinated. There wasn't really a lot of turnovers. They had clean disposals in that third quarter. And East Perth, I mean, I've tipped them next week, so hopefully they can increase their form.
Yeah. I think they need to pull a finger out. I mean, the Bulldogs had 27 scoring shots to East Perth's 19. I mean, I guess they should have won by more. The Bulldogs coach will probably be getting them doing a bit of extra goal kicking. But James Seller had a good game. He kicked 3 goals.
I think it's worth mentioning as well, Ben Saunders was out. And he averages, 2 or 3 goals every game. He's had an ankle injury.
Yep.
James Sellers and Corey Del Olio.
Got it. Well done.
Yeah.
4 goals from him and 18 disposals. I mean, stellar game. He was my man of the match and really stepped up where Ben Saunders, when Ben Saunders was out.
Yeah. Now, if you haven't seen Ben Saunders' mark from last week, it's unreal. If you jump online and check it out.
Did he hit his head on the stratosphere? Because I haven't seen it.
Okay. So he basically... do you remember the Ashley Sampey mark where he got up on the guy?
Standing on Dean Cox's shoulders.
He got 2004, so Sampey got up and then elevated himself more and took the mark. Right, this was similar except Ben Saunders took it one-handed out to the side.
Oh,
it was phenomenal.
A thing of beauty.
Yeah, do yourself a favour and check out that screamer. So
sounds delicious, as Bruce McAvaney would say.
Delicious. Good result for the Bulldogs. That sees them move up into 4th spot behind bitter rivals East Freo, only on percentage. So good on the Bulldogs. Now
Might I add that not only a good result for the Bulldogs, but a good result for Claire. I was the only person that had faith. I tipped the Bulldogs and they came through for me.
Yeah, but then you tipped Peel.
Yeah.
Well, hush now.
Looking ahead to the fixtures for next week for these guys, South Ferry have the bye, so a well-earned rest for them. And as we mentioned before, East Perth travel up to Joondalup to play the Falcons at HBF Arena, so stay tuned to hear the result of that one.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
On the line now, we have Channel 7's Mark Reddings. Mark, I suppose you had a good weekend?
A terrific weekend and plenty of good WAFL footy as well. And a couple of surprise results with Claremont knocking off West Perth as probably the biggest upset so far of the round.
Yeah, it was a really good win by the Tigers. Another big cat getting over the line with the Lions. They prevailed over the Perth Demons by 6 goals. It was a weird game. The Lions got over the line 8 goals, 15-63 over the Demons, 3 goals, 9-27. I guess a plus side for Perth fans is that the Demons didn't let it blow out to beyond 10 goals.
Yeah, that's true. That's some consolation, isn't it? But just looking at what happened on the weekend, Perth and Serby both put numbers behind the ball. So as a result of that, a pretty low-scoring game, 8 goals to 3, and Subiaco's goal-kicking 8-15. So nothing to write home there. In fact, the performance was so modest, according to Jared Schofield, that he decided that the players shouldn't sing the team song after the 36-point win, which is very rare, despite the fact they got the 4 points. The standards at Subiaco are pretty high, so they'd be really disappointed not being able to play to their potential. Mind you, Perth, just 3 goals for the game, and that sums up their woes. Their attacking area is just bereft of tall targets, and they just don't have the firepower to match it with the best teams in the competition. 3-9 for the afternoon. really slim pickings for them, and they now drop to the bottom of the table. Claremont, after their surprise win over West Perth, go above them on percentage.
Yeah, I mean, you just mentioned Jared Schofield was disappointed. When your full forward has 27 disposals and 21 kicks and only scoring one goal, I mean, it's a bonus for Clancy Wheeler to get those sorts of numbers, but I mean, your full forward shouldn't be the second highest possession getter on the ground for the Lions.
Yeah, a bit strange, isn't it, those numbers, and funny how the stats rack up. But look, bottom line is that they have got the likes of Shane Yaron, who kicked four goals, and he's clearly one of the stars of the WAFL. He's got 23 for the season now, and clearly leading the way in the goal-kicking front. But yeah, that's unusual numbers. And Jared Schofield, despite the fact that he was a bit grumpy at the way they performed, you can only take away a victory, as they did, away from home, 36 points. They're on top of the table, a game clear, so that was just maybe just a little needle to the boys to say, look, we need to do better next week against quality opposition, and that will come when they take on Peel at Bendigo Bank Stadium.
Yeah, now I think this season for the Demons, so far we've seen them play some decent footy, some pretty terrible football as well, but they just need to do it for four quarters. I mean, where do you think that's going to come from?
Oh, look, they've got a couple of guys, like Tropiano. We saw him play against South Fremantle, calling the game for seven, mate, and he was just outstanding. He just racks up such big numbers. The midfield's pretty good. Wolfenden and the likes of Billings and Latch are all sort of decent players, but for mine, they just don't have a forward line that functions well enough. They've got the Morton boys have got that uncanny knack of kicking goals, but they just would die to have a tall, key forward, even like a Paul Johnson, to stand in the goal square just to give them that bailout kick and allow the tools to bring the ball to ground and not make the job of the small forwards a little easier. So that's the task that Perth has. And I know they'll be going interstate during this year and maybe even this month to go and have a look at some players in country Victoria or in Melbourne, for instance, just to see if they can bolster that element of their forward line for next season. So, look, that they're getting enough of the footy, but really, with one win next to their name, they're clearly not able to match it with a better team.
Yeah, hopefully Perth can turn it around pretty quickly. Mark, who can we check out on Channel 7 this weekend in the WAFL?
We've got a Mother's Day match, which will be interesting, between East Fremantle and the team we've just talked about, Perth. So let's hope that the Sharks are coming off a bye, or maybe a touch off their game, and Perth lift theirs. For no other reason than hopefully we get a decent close game of footy. Of course, that all leads into Port Adelaide v the Eagles from the Adelaide Oval. So a big Mother's Day on 7, mate, and 7. Unfortunately, for some of us, we have to leave our families for the Mother's Day lunches for the time being. But now, looking forward to it, and hopefully, as I said, Perth can show a bit of form. And East Fremantle, gee, they're a pretty good side. I was really impressed with them a couple of times I've seen them this season. They're currently third on the ladder, and their midfield is as good as any when they're up and about.
Sounds like a ripping weekend of football. Mark Reddings, thank you so much, mate.
Pleasure. Have a great week.
I'm Dennis Cometti. If I'm listening to the Monday Waffle, then you should be too.
Swan District 3 found their missing form on Saturday, toppling high-flying Peel Thunder by 47 points in their Round 7 clash at Steel Blue Oval. The Thunder had won four on the trot for the first time in its history, but were comprehensively outplayed by the home side, down by 50 points at three-quarter time. Matt Rogers and Simon Donovan were impressive for the Swans, kicking three goals apiece. Former Royal Steve Whittick also kicked three goals, while Alex Howard and Ryan Davis both kicked a couple for the Black and Whites. Justin Simpson controlled the back line for the Swans with 27 possessions, while Jason Daniels racked up 26 touches. Leroy Jetta was the main goal scorer for the away side, kicking three goals, while Jonathan Griffin bagged two. Brady Gray saw more of the ball than any other Thunder player, amassing 22 disposals. Swan District's comfortable winners, 18-16, 124, to Peel Thunder, 11-11, 77.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
Okay, it's that time of week again, guys. We've got to get our tips out for this week. Now, we've already tipped a couple of the games. I've gone West Perth and Swan Districts. Claire, you've done the same, and then Jared went for East Perth and Swan Districts, just to mix it up a bit. Guys, the other two games we've got is Peel Thunder versus Subiaco. That's down in Mandurah at Peel's home ground, Bendigo Bank Stadium. Subiaco will come out firing.
Yeah, it's going to Subi.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Despite the drive, I think they'll definitely win.
So Subiaco all round for that one. And then the televised game this week, as we heard earlier from Mark Reddings, is East Frio hosting Perth at Adams Stadium in East Frio. I'm going to go East Frio for sure.
Yeah, East Frio.
Yeah, it's a bit of a no-brainer, I think.
Too easy. Now, looking at the table.
There's not a lot you can say, really.
No.
Everyone got 2 points last week, so we're all in the same position.
Yep.
So all I'm going to say is to you, Jake Batrick, bottom of the ladder, Jake the Gambler Batrick, here is a message for you.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up.
You got to know when to hold up.
Yep.
No, went to fold. Wait,
I can't crack it this year, Tippy. I don't know what's happening. I'm still last on 11 points. Josh is streaking away. He's 3 points ahead of everyone at the top, so on 16 points.
He's a wise man.
Yeah, and then we've got Jesse, Jared, and Mark both on 13 points, and then Claire.
Mark.
Oh God, MIA Mark, we call him. And then Claire. You're with Nicole and Josie on 12 points, so...
Yeah, we're not... The women are not holding up.
I mean, there's still a long way to go. Still a long way to go, but it's been such an unpredictable year.
I think you've said that every week when we say Jake's in the bottom. You're like, there's still a long way to go. It's been an unpredictable year.
you're kind of like that knight in The Holy Ghost. He gets his arms and legs cut off and he's like, come at me. You know, like he's still going. He's been battered, but he's still competitive.
I've still got it. No, you watch me shoot back up to the top soon enough. But my theory with Swan District's work this week, I thought Peel were going to go there and win, and purely based on that fact, I tipped Swan District. So.
Yeah, well, I wish I had, because then I would have gotten 3 points and actually jumped up a couple notches on the table. But did my hashtag pray for Peel, and they let me down.
So I don't think anyone's any longer praying for Peel, although no. I still think they'll make the finals. Interesting round of football. That's all we've got time for on this week's episode of the Monday Waffle. Jared and Claire, thank you so much for joining me in the studio this week. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No problem.
Thanks for having us.
And we will catch you all next week on the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.